Well, alrighty gang, welcome back to the Gutowski Files, starring Stephen Gutowski. He is the founder of TheReload.com and the host of the weekly Reload podcast. Now, you should know that when we get together, Stephen and I, once a week, we start talking about whatever beforehand, and now we're an hour after we were supposed to start this recording, but we just enjoy the conversation so much that it goes on for a long time. So with that said, Stephen, sir, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I actually I've been, I got shadow banned on Twitter, which is, Twitter had a bad relationship with them, with the old management. They put like a warning label on the Reload at one point and then removed it. Now under new management, I've been shadow banned after posting about this story we're about to talk about. So with a shadow ban, it's really hard to tell what is going on or why.
That's why they call it a shadow ban, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it limits who can see your tweets and whether you show up in search and whether your threads work and stuff. So it's not a great situation. And I have no idea why it happened, other than that it happened after I posted about this story we're going to talk about.
So we never do this. We should do this. Where do people find you on social media? How do they find you on X? I call it X Twitter. How do they find you on X Twitter? What's your handle over there?
So they can go. Yeah, it's just my name. So Stephen Gutowski, StephenGutowski, because I know that's not easy to spell.
Common spelling.
And it's the same way on Threads. So I'm on there too. If you use the Facebook's version of Twitter, basically. Right. And of course, you know, the best way to follow the Reload's work, I think, is really just to sign up for our newsletter, because then there's no middleman to worry about. You know, if I post something on Twitter or Threads, Facebook or Twitter might not want you to see it for whatever reason. Not always a big conspiracy or anything, but a lot of times it's their low-level algorithms just kicking in and it's hard to know why. Or maybe it is targeted. I don't know. But, the one way to keep up with it is just to sign up for the free newsletter at the Reload,
I was going to ask, does it cost people anything to sign up for the newsletter? Can they just go sign up for it and get it? They won't get a pressure sales pitch or anything like that. They're just going to get the newsletter, right?
Yeah. You just get the newsletter once a week on Fridays. And so, and it's just a roundup of our top stories. We try not to crowd your inbox. You might get a breaking news alert every once in a while, but I mean, honestly, that maybe is once, maybe twice a month if we do it.
Yeah, it's not frequent. You know,
we try not to do the whole typical news publication thing where everything is breaking news and they send you alerts for every story. We don't.
What I like a lot about any content I get from the Reload, whether it's a newsletter or an email or just looking at the site, there's never any scare quotes. There's never any, you know, overwrought headlines about how the world's going to come to an end and you better vote for so-and-so or else such-and-such. It's none of that. It's not that at all. That's what makes it different. And frankly, that's why we work with the Reload versus any other, you know, other news sources, because they are sane, sober reporting. They align with our values in that way. So thank you for that. Keep the good work.
Yeah, thank you. And we do our best to try and break hard news stories too, original pieces that you're literally not going to find anywhere else, which is, I guess, probably leads us right into the story for this week, right?
Indeed. Stephen already knows what the story is. He knows that because he wrote it, but I will intro it anyway. So the headline here is a leaked document. Biden administration looks to impose civilian gun restrictions on Israel, Ukraine through American exports. And so there's this, and there's another piece over there at the Reload about it, because this is important. This is a story you broke, correct?
Yeah. We published this leaked document, this draft rule from the Commerce Department. No one else has this. We were also able to talk to several experts and the gun industry and the Commerce Department itself about this whole situation to verify that it's real, that this document is real. It's not finalized. As I said, it's a draft document, but it does give you insight into what it appears the Biden administration is planning to do with American gun exports after the pause that they've put in place recently expires next month. And it's pretty significant, these changes, especially in their impact on some of the global hotspots that we're seeing right now, including, as you mentioned, Israel and Ukraine.
Yeah. And I, you know, this strikes me as very odd that is there another industry where the government would insert itself like this in this way? Probably there is actually, but it's just telling to me that they're like, well, we will absolutely arm the government of this or that country. We don't want their citizens getting in. How can one then infer anything as far as their attitude towards what they think of us and our civilians versus our government having firearms?
Well, I mean, I would encourage them to read these restrictions and judge for themselves about what the administration maybe thinks is ideal for gun regulation, because the justification they've given for why these changes are necessary is to essentially combat international gun crimes and sort of firearms trafficking or terrorist related activities. And the mechanism that they have proposed here for doing that is actually quite fascinating or odd. I don't know what the right word to describe it is, but it's sort of a gun registry, a pseudo gun registry of foreign civilians that would be regulated by the Commerce Department and I guess administered in a sense by American gun companies. So, and here's the way it would work in practice from reading the rule and from how I understand this. Anybody who wants to export an American made firearm to another country that isn't covered in, there's about 40 countries that this won't apply to. They're part of the Wassenaar Agreement, which is a gun trade deal that was established in the 90s. Although Ukraine is actually part of the Wassenaar Agreement, but they're accepted from this group for a reason that's a bit unclear, probably because of the war going on. But and Israel's not part of the agreement, so that's where those two countries come in. But there's a lot of other countries also affected by this. And anyone in those countries, if you want to export an American-made gun to any civilian in any of those countries, first you have to get a specific purchase order for each sale. And then accompanying that has to be the end user, the person who's actually going to take possession of the firearm to buy it, not like a distributor or the wholesaler, but the end user has to also submit their passport or national ID card. And so that will any American exporter of firearms will have to have all of that information before the Commerce Department grants them a license to export those guns. So, yeah, I mean, it creates a sort of de facto gun registry of foreign citizens. So you can kind of see how a bit strange that whole concept is. And it also only seems to apply to what, for shorthand in America, we tend to call assault weapons. You know, this is obviously a nebulous term, and it's defined in here as semi-automatic center fire guns that have a pistol grip, that have one or more of these banned features and cosmetic or ergonomic features like pistol grips or barrel shrouds or telescoping stocks, things of that nature. That you
have nothing to do with the lethality of a firearm. Yes.
But so that's what it does. It also, you know, there's some other licensing things that go in here. Like they shorten the length of time that a license is good for from 4 years to 1 year. And so the industry thinks this is going to have I guess that's one thing everybody agreed on, including the Commerce Department, is that this is going to have a pretty significant impact on American exports, to other nations. I mean, we'll see as well whether this rule actually gets proposed in this form. You know, this is a draft. It's something that was leaked, that we were able to obtain. I think the Heritage Foundation, an analyst at the Heritage Foundation, got it first. And, so we got it through them, but that's what, it seems somebody in the Commerce Department was not very happy about these proposals either, for this to come out.
Yeah. I want to move on to this other story, by the way, because our poor bedraggled viewers and listeners, it's the holiday season. They need some good news. Let's give them some good news. What do you say? So over here, this one is, this article is actually by contributing writer Jake Fogelman. The headline of this one is federal judge, Federal judge blocks most California gun-free zone restrictions. That sounds great. The headline sounds great. Tell us what's behind the headline.
Yeah, well, gun rights advocates should be pretty pleased with this, pretty happy about the decision in this case. You had a coalition of gun rights groups that sued California over its Bruin response bill. We've talked about Bruin response bills a bunch on the past, on the show in the past, right? After the Supreme Court struck down New York's May issue, you know, restrictive, subjective gun licensing, gun carry licensing regime. Mm-hmm. A bunch of states that were affected by that ruling then passed, including New York itself, then passed laws in response to it that instead of restricting who can get a permit, although they did also change their application standards too, they mainly focused on restricting where you can carry a gun legally, even with a permit. So, and they did it to the point where it became in practice would become extremely difficult to legally carry a gun on you, even with a permit, without running into a gun-free zone very, very often.
If I may interject the Chris Rock analogy of the neighborhood getting more dangerous, and you see your mom said you can go from this block to this block, and then it was from this house to this house. And now literally you're just, as a kid, you're just hopping up and down on one square of sidewalk right in front of your house because that's the only place that's quote unquote safe. The other places are doing the same thing, right? I mean, New York, didn't, mm-hmm. DC was trying to do the same thing. We talked about that, about the National Mall and other places. So this isn't just California that's trying this particular tactic.
Yes, but these laws have run into a lot of legal trouble since they've been enacted, especially what gun rights advocates have started calling the vampire provision, which is the one where essentially you can't carry on publicly accessible private property, like a store or something like that.
Right.
Unless the owner invites you in. So it's kind of like a vampire can't enter your house unless you invite them in.
Right.
That's the sort of joke or the, where the name comes from. But yeah, it kind of flips that presumption that everybody knows and that has historically been the case where you can carry on private property in, unless they post a sign saying you can't.
Right.
So these Bruin response laws have all tried to flip that around so that you can't carry unless they post a sign that says you can, or you get,
which is just the dumbest thing ever, in my opinion, by the way, straying into opinion now, but yeah, that's the dumbest thing ever. Like most businesses aren't thinking about the Second Amendment. They're not thinking about people carrying firearms. So, you know, who's going to go around to every business in California and tell them, if you want to allow people to lawfully carry, you have to make a sign, a special sign that says you can? Like, that's just so silly to me. Am I off base?
Well, the courts certainly haven't thought this was a good idea, or at least a constitutional idea, because that's one of the provisions that you've seen struck down basically everywhere.
Right.
Because you had the Second Circuit Court of Appeals uphold a lot of the sensitive places or gun-free zone restrictions that New York put in place, but except for that one, the vampire rule got block there. Now this California ruling is kind of the opposite of that Second Circuit ruling in that they blocked everything. Basically, this federal judge said that all these sensitive places restrictions outside of the ones that were specifically covered in the Supreme Court said there are sensitive places that you can restrict firearms, based on the tradition of firearms regulation in the country. And that would be things like polling places or courthouses or I think schools were also in there. So, you know, those provisions are still going to go into effect, but all of the other ones, and they had a lot of them, right? You know, parks, zoos, banks, just a myriad of different new gun-free zones in this California law. The rest of those got blocked before they went into play. So the law, this ruling technically doesn't change anything because, yeah, California, these things, you know, there have been some people I've seen on Twitter complaining like, oh, this judge is allowing carry in all these places now. And I mean, the thing is, that's where they was already allowed. Right. So this ruling, it doesn't actually change anything in practice for people in California. It just keeps the status quo in place. As things stand right now, the judge did significantly did deny a stay. So his ruling goes into effect immediately. Now, the Attorney General is going to appeal this. And on appeal, the Ninth Circuit, which everybody knows the reputation of the Ninth Circuit, all of our listeners know, I'm sure, may issue their own stay on the ruling. That was another reason this was significant. This came before this law went into place. So those restrictions are now not going to be enforced. Nothing will change for the average California gun carrier, somebody who has a permit already. And we'll see what courts do down the line with that. Oftentimes courts tend to prefer keeping the status quo during appeals, but especially if a law hasn't gone into effect yet, they may keep things as they were, but we'll have to wait and see exactly what happens.
All right. So I don't mean to infer that I wasn't paying attention to what you were just saying, but for the last 10 seconds, I thought to myself, you know what, Mike, you've come up with a fantastic segue into sports, and here's what it is. So that's your warning, people. If you want to tune out, now's your chance. So speaking of California is what I thought I might say. The lovely and fetching Mrs. Williver and I just got back from a brief trip out to the LA area before the season started. There was so much hope for my beloved Redskins football team Commanders that I thought maybe, just maybe, we might be in contention this late in the season. So LA was the closest they were going to be. So I bought tickets to the Rams game, and they didn't play terribly, but obviously they didn't win. The Rams are kind of on the come up as far as the end of their season. They're kind of improving. So we'll see how they do, but they're in the same division with the 49ers, so who knows. But anyway, I say that to say this. I get to carry a gun in California. See, we're going back to guns, Mike. What are we doing? Well, I'll tell you what we're doing. We're talking about being in California and going to a place where there's every restriction in the world seems like we're on guns when I lived there, but I was a cop, so it didn't matter. Well, now I'm back, and things are so much worse. This is objectively, things are so much worse in California. It's just the crime. Like, you get the sense when you step out of your car in LA, almost anywhere, that things are, it's not a safe place. And I've kind of lost track where I'm going with this, but the long story short is I was very pleased to be able to carry a firearm in California, and I didn't carry it in the stadium.
Yeah. How does the state, that's SoFi, is that crazy giant complex, right?
Let me just say this. The stadium's fantastic. It's really cool. There's a YouTube theater and there's a water feature, and it's sort of underground partly. It's a fantastic design, and the staff were all wonderful. The Rams fans were all friendly. I did not feel like I was in Philly at all.
You actually ran into Rams fans?
It was honestly probably...
I guess it wasn't a Chargers game, right? That would be even harder to find.
Yeah, that was one of the running jokes, because they kept saying, whose house? And everybody would go, Rams house. And I'd be like, except for every other Sunday in the regular season, one of the Chargers. But everybody there was delightful. I didn't have a single bad interaction with a Rams fan. It was probably 60-40 Rams to Commanders. If you looked around, anecdotally, looking around at the sea of burgundy versus sort of blue and yellow, there was a lot of Commanders fans, and it was nice. It's more than I've seen since I lived in D.C., frankly.
That's kind of the design of that, the intent of that stadium. It's meant to be like a thing that people travel to see their team play. Kind of like Las Vegas Stadium, a similar idea, I think.
Had this been like... the old Qualcomm Stadium to see the Chargers play, I don't know that I would have gone, because it's such a crummy, it was such a crummy place.
Right.
Or the LA Coliseum. I don't know that I would have made the trip, but SoFi was really, really cool. Everything they say about it's true. The Jumbotron is impressive. Tressway almost hit it with a punt, because it's also impressive. Traveling to California reminded me of why I moved to Arizona in a lot of ways. And a big part of that was just sort of the general sense of law and order. I didn't feel that in LA outside of the stadium like I did other places. So just something to think about. And I'm glad.
That's interesting. Although I do wonder about what was the policy at the stadium for carrying? I mean, you can carry because of Leosha, right?
Yeah. I could have, I chose not to push the issue because I didn't, because I've gotten hemmed up at places. It's just like checking an gun in with an airline.
Yeah.
The rules. If you're the gun carrier, you know them frequently better than the people at the airline do. They just sometimes don't know the law, don't know the rules.
Right.
And so what I didn't want to have happen was, because I knew I was going to Uber from my hotel to the stadium, and I knew that I wouldn't have any lockbox in my car to go back to. So if they turn me away at the gate, whether out of ignorance or whether their policy said it, I didn't bother because I just knew that there was a 50-50 chance that I'd be hugely inconvenienced.
Yeah.
I'd have to get another Uber all the way back to my hotel, which in LA, even though it's, you know, anywhere else would be a 20-minute drive. There, it's 90 minutes. So I didn't bother trying. However, after getting through security, it occurred to me pretty quickly that I could have probably had a shoulder fired missile and gotten it through that security. So
did they have one of those like AI security things now that
it was human beings were there, obviously. Okay. There was some sort of magnetometer I've never seen before.
I think it's one of these AI scanners they use now.
Okay, maybe it could be. It was just sort of shoulder height.
It's not a metal detector, but
they're very far apart.
Yeah.
And it definitely wasn't the thing you get into at the airport where you put your arms.
No. Yeah. It's like some sort of AI scanner that's supposed to detect weapons without using metal detectors. I'm super skeptical of that stuff.
Yeah. As I
do see it at a lot of stadiums now, like Citizens Bank when I was up there for the NLCS. I think they're using it. Nats Park. I believe that's what they're using now too, instead of metal detectors.
Now, this is not legal advice, please. Listen to us and then go out and try to walk in somewhere you're not.
Well, I'm not saying no. You certainly shouldn't try. I wouldn't test them. I'm just saying I don't necessarily trust them either.
I'm rarely, if there's somewhere where I can't go armed, I am very rarely filled with confidence that I'm safe because there's no guns around. It's hardly ever. Frankly,
especially stadiums for me.
I've seen too many people get stuff through airport security, so there's nowhere where I feel like, oh, we're good. Everybody got checked. I never feel that sense of relief that I'm in a safe place.
Mm. You know, stadiums are always interesting to me because, you know, I would like to be able to carry at least to the stadium, and I like when they let you check your gun at the stadium. Mm-hmm. Although the only place that I was ever able to actually do that has been the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, where the Flyers and the Sixers play. Mm-hmm. They seem to have changed this policy a couple of years back, but they used to let you carry up to the security and then you could tell security you have a gun to check and they'd take you to their security office and there's a locker in there where you could check your guns. And I don't know if that was only meant for police and they just let anybody who had a carry who just said that they wanted to check and they didn't like bother to ask you, you know, who you were, but I'd use that several times at Flyers games because the thing about stadiums is like, it's not the stadium. It's not the inside of the stadium that I worry about.
Right.
It's the parking lots. That's where people get killed and people get killed at sporting events. It's not like an everyday occurrence, but people get beat to death at these things in the parking lots. And it doesn't happen. Oddly, this has always been, you know, as a Philly fan, I've always had a little bit of a like, it's weird that we have such a bad reputation when people literally get murdered at other stadiums and nobody hangs that on the fans.
I think one of the reasons they're moving the Raiders and the A's out of Oakland is to lower the homicide rate. I'm pretty sure.
Well, there's just a case.
Died a 49ers game last year, I think.
There was definitely somebody at a Giants game in San Francisco that got killed in the parking lot. And then I heard news about a court case of two Rhode Island guys who killed somebody at a Patriots game in New England. So, it definitely happens. It's not, again, I don't want to be overwrought here. It's not a every game occurrence, but people get drunk, they get mad and they're out in the parking lot. There's no security in the parking lot.
Oh, you're on your own. Stadiums. Yeah, it's a law of the jungle out there for sure.
And so I'd like to be able to have my gun on my trip to and from the stadium. If I can, you know, at least when, you know, like you talked about, there's no guarantee to any of these security measures, but at least when you're going in traditionally, most stadiums, they do use the metal detectors on you. So that probably it's harder to get a weapon in there. It's not impossible, I'm sure, but I feel a little more secure about that. And there's security all around, including a lot of armed police officers. But once you get outside of that stadium, all that goes away basically.
I've frequently been struck by the lack of security after a game. I don't know if it's intentional or what, but man, you're walking out amongst, especially
it's hard to secure
a contentious game or a particular rivalry.
Yeah.
Taking your life in your hands sometimes, literally.
I mean, like, especially if you're like,
you can feel that electricity, you know, like something's about to pop off and you're like, oh, I got to get out of here.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just saying that's where I would get more, more concerned is that after a game, people are drunk, they're upset or whatever. Some of them, half of them may be upset or whatever percentage, because the team lost. And it's just not a super safe environment to me. Now, I've never had an incident, so I'm not saying that it's from experience or anything, but that's something I've always thought about. These things happen at stadiums more often than I think we'd like them to, obviously. Yeah. And yeah, the stadium policies are always kind of all over the place. Because when Wells Fargo was doing that, I remember that Citizens Bank, the Phillies stadium, wouldn't let you do that. And I don't think the Link ever let you do that either, the Eagles stadium. So, and then the DC stadiums are all either in DC, where I haven't had a permit. We discussed that last week, but or Maryland, where also I haven't had a permit, and you couldn't get a permit until after Bruin. But although I guess they're moving some to Northern Virginia now, I'm sure that's going to be a treat.
Yeah, are the Commanders possibly? Is that the talk? I haven't heard any scuttlebutt.
No, they're move. They might move the. Well, they announced a whole plan to move the hockey and basketball stadium to Potomac Yard, which is like between Alexandria and Arlington, near mm-hmm. the airport, near Reagan. So not really a place built for a lot of overwhelming traffic. But
no, I wouldn't think so.
That's where they want to put it.
Counting we'll on see. The metro. So here's what's fun, Stephen. I want to close with this. All the people that tuned out when they heard the word sports missed that whole conversation.
About the whole conversation. Yeah, we brought it back to guns.
The relative security at major stadiums throughout the United States. Folks, this is our last show before Christmas. So if you celebrate Christmas, as I do, and I'm sure Stephen does as well, we wish you a very Merry Christmas. And we Merry thank Christmas. You so much for listening all year. We'll have another show next week before New Year's, but we want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Stay safe out there, please, in all the ways that you need to stay safe, not just with your firearms and with self-defense, but just, you know, drunk drivers, all that kind of stuff. Tread lightly. Be safe. And as always, even on Christmas, Stephen, you have the last word.
Absolutely.